And not, you know, I'm not looking over here on Monday for Ray Phelps. Monday afternoon, Kip Lombard comes through and pulls out my registration record because I've canceled, re-registers me over in another part of the county, but still within the electoral district. On Tuesday, Glenn Whalen comes along and looks over in that other part and says, yeah, there's Ray Phelps over there in the other part of the county. I'm now at the counter. I give you a second ballot. You're not going to get them together. Because you've got to be able to make those verifications. Those things take time. And the problem is you're trying to put two and three layers together of very different, very disciplined, and very
rigid. So what you're saying is this system inevitably means there will be no last day voter registration.
As we perceive it at this point, yes, ma'am, I have to be very honest with you.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, yes, Representative Mason.
Representative Hendrickson, we've got to start balancing, you know, to use constitutional language, you've got to balance a few interests here.
I agree.
And the interests we're balancing here, and this is not for primary or general election.
That's right. It is not.
This is not.
I realize. I'm not as concerned about the special districts, but I think what the thrust of this is going to be is to carry it over to the general and the primary.
I don't think any of us feel.
And I think
really
people
honestly
should start thinking about. And I cannot believe that you cannot devise systems to accommodate people.
I'm as in love with the last day registration as anyone. But at the same time, I think that in special district elections where the turnout is zilch, last day registration is a moot point.
I believe that with the voter registration cutoff system, first of all of the people who will be registering, say we have no cutoff right now. Let's say that's 100 persons that will register within inside that 30 day up through and including election day. With the 30-day cutoff, I believe that probably 60 of those 100 persons will register by that 30th day. That's number one. Number two, then, with the voter registration, no cutoff, and my concerns about integrity notwithstanding, just the participation, which is what Representative Mason, I think, is getting toward, I believe that with the no voter registration cutoff, that we will probably experience maybe a 20-25% participation, even though we're allowing registration all the way up through and including Election Day. With the cutoff, having those 60 people now on record, we will probably double the participation. So that the magic, if you will, of no voter registration cutoff, allowing for the broadest franchise, is in effect true, but it doesn't produce the participation that this system will.
But you're limiting your remarks to the special district election.
Yeah, so I think we have to, and we have to be fair about it. Because to say, you know, all the way with everything, I don't think is being responsible at all at this point. So it would be special district elections. When you get into the primary or general election, there is the system as we now have it. There will be no cutoff. There'll be no time to stop registering people or anything else.
Well, I want to say, Ray, I'm not opposed to the special district election, but what I am opposed to is this hard and fast idea, because I think if this does catch on, it's inevitably going to go to the primary and the general, and then I don't want people saying there is absolutely no way we can do last day voter registration.
Well, I'll tell you what, Representative Hendrickson, I will make you an offer that I know
you can't refuse.
That Representative Whalen, and if I'm out of line, you tell me, because I really don't want to be out of line. But I believe, after having seen the San Diego elections process, that Representative Lombard and Whalen are somewhat satisfied that this is going to have to be a situation that has to be part of the mix. In other words, we are going to have to start looking at the balancing of the priorities. And when we do a vote-by-mail election, I really would like for you to join us, and I'll show you. I can demonstrate to you more effectively in doing it.
Yeah, well, I would like to see
than in concept that we're talking about. And as a last comment, Mrs. Paulus, you know, mentioned about 1975 having drafted the original registration. As you know, I came from Missouri as an elections person. There is no way in the world that you could have convinced me that an election system could work without a voter registration cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that opinion anymore.
I might interject.
So I'm dying hard a little bit on this also. Don't misunderstand me. We're not jumping up and saying, yippee, we're going to sneak in with this.
I'm a great believer where there's a will, there's a way.
There is to a point, but the point gets to be whether or not we as elections persons in the county on election day are going to be held accountable to the myriad of election laws that said there are penalties if we violate this, there are penalties if we lose control of our ballots, and I cannot assure you that we may not lose control of our ballots because of the strain at a central location.
What I would just like to say, though, is if we're going in that new system, certainly people can be thinking about this and trying to talk.
There's no question that we are going to be thinking about it.
I just don't like the idea of people just closing their minds and there's absolutely no way to...
Absolutely not.
Well,
no.
Margie, that's exactly why we have a sunset issue. So next session we'll be forced to look at it.
Yes.
I think California has a cutoff.
29 days.
29 days. And they couldn't believe that we didn't. And they... their testimony to us, or their statements to us, were that they could not believe that they could run a mail election without the cutoff. Now, of course, I think Oregonians, generally, their attitude is, let's say, a little more exploratory. It's one which I think is a little more willing to, as you say, where there's a will, there's a way to look. And I would anticipate, probably, that among the things that we will look at in the pilot projects that we try will be to ask ourselves, you know, is there some way that we could reinstate and handle a voter, you know, election day registration system under a ballot by mail. But I think... for purposes of setting up a pilot program, I think we have to go back to the cutoff because I think we can there more closely parallel and draw on the California experience that we've observed, and then we can do our own venturing.
Well, the only thing, Representative Lombard, I'm afraid of, I know very well how much the clerks hate the last day voter registration, and I'm a little bit cynical about how much innovation they're willing to do or how much seriously they would look at trying to maintain that system since they would love to get rid of it anyway.
Well, I don't think they would look at it. I think we would.
May I get into this? Is going to rest with us.
Yeah. Well, I know, but part of it's going to, we have to rely on whether they say it's technically possible. When they have a bent against doing that, I said I'm just a little concerned.
Well, if I may jump in here, first of all, this Section 3 recommendation about the 30-day voter registration cutoff did not come from the county clerks. It came from Mrs. Paulus. Secondly, we will make a very conscious effort to determine whether or not that's necessary, but with maybe the disposition of saying, if at all possible, is there some way we can get by without a cutoff? Or if a cutoff is necessary, can we work out a different kind of a system where it doesn't impact and that sort of thing?
Well, but are you saying change the wording on your amendment?
No, ma'am.
Because this would make it absolute. That
we've got to have that in order to maintain the maximum flexibility that we need for all the other systems.
If it's in the statute that the cutoff is on 30 days and you're trying to experiment, there's no way you're going to be able to experiment.
Oh, yeah, there are. You can be watching the processes and create in your own mind, and if you will, you build models, you say to yourself, now what would happen if this had been 20 days and we mailed on 10 and we had people coming in? And I think you can do that, and I think you can make those judgments without having it impacting you. I just think that as a process right now, we've got to have this margin.
Test, as you say, using models. No reason why you couldn't test the system.
That's right.
Have somebody go out and actually register and say, all right, how would you follow this through?
Mm-hmm.
Taking a new registration, taking a change of address on the other hand, or whatever types of registrations that you now allow within the last 20 days.
That's right. The other feature is in Section 5 is the sunset provision. We've chosen August the 1st, 1983, and very deliberately so, because that allows for the full breadth of the next session And also there will be three elections occurring simultaneously, so that if we were to report to you certain things, certain apprehensions, and certain, if you will, reservations, we'd still have two or three elections to maybe say, you know, for you to tell us, gee, we just don't think you really understood. Why don't you try it this way? And we'd say, okay, we got an election in March. We got an election in May, June, whatnot. We'll do that. In other words, that's why we chose August 1983 is the sunset provision, so that there'll be a crack at it while there's a session going on at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. But you are going to give us a report, hopefully.
Oh, yes.
The 62nd Assembly.
At the outset.
At the outset.
Well, very near the outset, no. Yeah.
Okay, how about Ray? Can we quickly move through the balance right. of the
section two?
We have exactly 7 minutes. Come to think of it, too.
Well, I can do that.
Caucuses at 10:30.
Yeah. Really, there's only two.
Democrats don't. The Republicans do.
Oh,
thank you. Thanks for telling me.
There's not more elaborate. We kind of touched on a lot of this anyway. Subsection two of section one talks about the fact that it's applicable to the six election dates. Accepting the primary in general, but also accepting emergency elections. Our concern is that making this an easy facility, that we might be prompting a great number of emergency elections, and we don't want to do that. So that it keeps an emergency truly an emergency. In Section 2, the element on line 16 and 17 is what we're asking for, and that is the flexibility to modify the provisions of the general election laws and the provisions of the special district election laws to make it work, to make vote by mail work. Subsection 2 of that section talks about designating a place for replacement ballots in case of loss or spoilage or damage and whatnot. We indicate here it could be the clerk's office and or other places. Also on line 26, we're talking about having consecutive election hours, at least 12 hours. I did not put in 8 to 8 because San Diego kind of suggested an interesting possibility where you can maybe go a whole 24 hours if you want rather than just 12.
Well, they went right up to midnight.
Yes,
or 11
they did.
O'clock.
No, it was midnight.
It was midnight.
Yes,
so they went right up to midnight. Yeah.
So that we want more flexibility, but we do not want to shorten. In other words, the legislature, I don't think, has to have concern that we'll run a one-hour special with 45 minutes for lunch. So we're keeping it at that level. On page 2, lines 3 and 4, we're talking about mailing the ballots not earlier than the 20th day and not later than the 5th day. In subsection 4, we're talking about simply the mechanisms for returning the ballot and that the ballot must be received by the clerk at the place designated by the end of the voting time. And in subsection 5, we're talking about, again, the location for where you go for replacement. In subsection 6, we're talking about the signature verification process, which we would make a 100% verification. There's no statistical sampling or anything else that's going to be done. We'll look at the possibility. We may do some testing on that to indicate whether or not that's a good idea. That'll be part of our report. But if for this purposes, we're looking at 100% verification, then there is the situation in that subsection that talks about the fact that the envelope that we use to mail it out, that we provide you for a return, is the one that must be used. And if you use anything else, we're not going to process the ballot. And also, if we detect in our verification process that you have submitted more than one ballot, we will reject all ballots. We will not process any ballot. Okay. Also in lines 4 and 5, and this is part of a reason for a challenge.
Representative Henderson. I can just see, though, that you'll have husbands and wives sticking them in the same envelope.
We won't even open it. It'll stay closed. Oh, I see.
I think that'll have to be advertised heavily. You're going to have to be sticking them in the same
envelope. One we were looking at in San Diego, in which they did check, and they were both counted. Her ballot was in his envelope, and vice versa.
Yes.
And they caught it immediately. And when they caught hers, they immediately checked his, and they found out that that's what happened, so they were both counted.
they used some judgment calls down there that I think were quite fair. They tried.
Well, they made a point of trying to
count the votes
as many as they possibly could. Right. If there was the least bit of doubt whether it was good or bad, they accepted.
Yeah. And there were several examinations by different persons of, if you will, higher echelon. In fact, of the matter is, it finally got down to the county district attorney, sat down with the county director of elections, and they examined it, and that was the final cut. Lines 4 and 5 on page 3A, and this is part of a need for a set voter registration file, is we'll maintain challenge procedures so that anybody that wants to challenge an elector's right to vote before that ballot is processed will have the potential of doing that. That was one of the weaknesses, I thought, in the San Diego system, is they really didn't have a challenge procedure contemplated, envisioned, and if somebody wanted to challenge, they'd say, sure.
Beyond the signature verification procedure.
Yes. So we are going to maintain a heavy emphasis on the challenge process so that electors and or responsible persons in the community can challenge that process.
How are they going to know, though? They're not going to see them voting.
Well, they won't, but what they'll do is they'll see a register of electors, and they'll say, Ray Phelps isn't a qualified elector in here. I challenge that.
But will they be able, like, they won't be, like, poll watching. In other words, can the public sit in and watch this process occurring and this checking?
Yes. Yes, we'll have watchers. If they want. I mean,
one of the things,
there will be watchers,
Margie, that they maintain, and I forget the explanation of this, but as and when a person voted, they entered that into their computer system, and did these come out daily, Ray?
Yes, sir.
Printouts? These
are, oh, so you could see who'd voted.
They had daily printouts.
Oh, I can see how the politicians would want to use this.
You bet.
Indicated, you know, who had voted.
Then you get on the telephone. Actually, yeah, this could get a lot more voter turnout if you start using this.
Sure.
Because go down, I can see the electoral strategy already.
Potential turnout on this thing is incredible.
Get your people on the telephone.
Margie, I would really have liked to have had the whole Oregon House down in San Diego and watched this process. I really would have. Because it was impressive.
Yeah.
In subsection 8, lines 8 and 9, nine, 10, we're talking about absentee balloting. We need the flexibility to modify the absentee balloting, but to allay any concerns, we will maintain the absentee process during the period of 60 days to 21 days, which is basically what we do now.
Mr. Chairperson?
Yes.
Representative Hendrickson?
Could I ask what? I don't understand why you need absentee ballots now.
Okay. In this situation, you could have a circumstance where Representative Lombard is going to be one of the electors qualified to vote in the election, and we're going to run it by mail. Now, we're not going to mail our ballots, say, until 20 days before Election Day, but he's going to go to Hong Kong or wherever, an extended distance. He will come into the elections offices on the 30th day and say, hey, no matter what you do, I'm not going to be able to vote. I want to vote now. We will create a procedure to accommodate that sort of person so that there is going to have to be a quasi-absentee ballot process. But if you noticed on line 10, we say, and not later than the 21st day, mm-hmm. because at that point, everything converts, if you will, to that absentee ballot status anyway.
Now, the system that you set up, the system San Diego had on that, see, the actual mailing of the ballots was such that, again, it just didn't pay to go back in to sort through and pull out the regular mailed ballot for those people who had voted absentee. So what they did is they took their absentee ballots and they set them aside in a separate tray, but flagged. As I recall, they had a flagging system where they were able to flag those individuals within their voter registration tray. So they had the actual voter registration cards. And like Oregon, they had three or four different types.
So they couldn't pull those out, so those people got mailed two ballots then?
They actually got two ballots. But
why didn't they have some kind of mechanism to pull them out of the labeling machine that was going to mail them?
Well, their feeling was this, and I can tell you what they did, is they decided that for the few that they're dealing with, and it was only a couple hundred, they would rather set up the system to catch the duplicate than the system that would be much more costly, more elaborate, to not mail the second one. Mm. And of those that they mailed, It was 230, if I'm not mistaken. I don't believe they got more than
100,000 ballots.
Yeah.
And didn't they have a private outfit do the
yes,
the mailing?
But that was
a direct mail outfit do that.
But it would be a but only because they had only an individual ballot.
That's right.
If you get into the tiered situation, that Representative Otto and I were going through, in no way a mail outfit's going to mail it out for you.
Yeah.
They're just not going to do it right. But they felt, they just made it, they made a management decision, which is most efficient way of doing it. And they decided for a few hundred it was more efficient to try to catch the second one coming back than it was to try to set up the prevention of the second one going out.
Did everybody through?
No.
And it worked much better, quite frankly.
Although I don't know for sure.
Now, in Section 3, it's the voter registration cutoff, and we believe that's very necessary.
I don't know.
Section 4, we're talking about a report that Mrs. Paulus will submit to the Assembly next session at the beginning or very near the beginning. In Section 5, we're talking about sunset provision, and we're asking specifically to go through with the potential of vote by mail during the time of the 83 session or the 62nd section of the Legislative Assembly so that we can discuss and try possibly doing something simultaneously while a session is still in effect.
By the way, we're not meeting Monday.
Okay.
I see that.
And that concludes my commentary with respect to House Bill 2418, the amendments that we've submitted. Also, I think, oh yes, it's on here. Legislative Council has drafted these amendments. We do have an Attorney General's opinion, and we've discussed about voter registration cutoff. And that's basically my testimony.
Thanks, Ray.
I have a feeling it's going to pass by the committee.
I have a hunch.
I'm going to turn it over to our chairman now. I've been informed that I guess that we have a caucus. Mrs. Murray and Dale, you're still signed up. If you want to add anything to what's been said, I think you get the sense of the committee as to what we want to do. Mrs. Murray, we have your letter of support, and as you can see, we're already talking about doing what you'd indicated in your letter with regards to broadening the applicability of it. Is there anything that you'd like to add in your testimony?
No, you will have to be having another hearing.
Yes, probably the next meeting will be a work session. As I say, I think seems to be very widespread next Wednesday. Okay, and we'll certainly enter your letter of record here. Dale, do you want to add anything at this time?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that I would just as soon wait now in your next session and deal with the time situation. I do have some comments and some answers to some questions I think I heard here today.
Okay.
But with the time situation what it is, I'll wait for the next session.
All right, next Wednesday.
The only reason I know you have a caucus is because I seem to notice the speaker saying, get this over with by 10:30 because the Republicans have a caucus.
Well, I hate to.
We're going to talk about Democrats again.
I assume. Well,
my ears just go through life burning.
I don't know.
We'll adjourn the meeting, and this will be back up Wednesday. For